Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity in the middle of a busy day to come to be together and to listen to you speak to us through your word. Thank you that it is relevant to the world and relevant to us personally. I pray that you give us ears to hear today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm just going to read the passage from Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9. So you read along with me. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Over to you, Matt.
Chris, thank you. At the third in a little series on the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and now this week peace, the fruit of the Spirit is peace. And I realised just it's only occurred to me, I'm a little bit slow, it's only occurred to me the last 10 minutes that God does indeed have a sense of humour, because I couldn't sleep last night. And lying awake and then said to my wife, I really can't get to sleep. And she said, no, nor can I. And we've been talking about various things and we're struggling to sleep. And isn't this good then to be thinking about, if not for you, then certainly for me. I imagine I'm not alone. Do you struggle to sleep at night, I wonder? For various reasons, I'm sure. I wonder if you find it either hard to get to sleep, or you get to sleep and then you often wake quite early. And annoyingly, it's so frustrating, the brain suddenly just switches on, the cogs are whirring, and that's it. Doesn't matter what time it is, you're not going back to sleep. And you reach the point where you think, I may as well go and do something useful, or I may as well get on with some work, or whatever. There's no point just lying here. Well, spare a thought for the Lloyd's TSB chief executive, Antonio Horta Osorio. Signed off with stress in October last year for 8 weeks. It became about 3 months after finding himself unable to sleep. He went 5 days without any sleep. I've got 3 children. Clearly I know nothing. I thought I knew about sleep deprivation. This man went 5 days without any sleep and eventually went to his chairman, to say, look, I need to take some time off. I need to get this right. I'm not functioning properly. He went home to Lisbon, but then found there he still couldn't sleep. And so he ended up, where else? In the Priory, of course, where he was put on a program. I have to say, this sounds wonderful. 8 nights, 8 days of supervised sleep. I mean, they should market that, I think. They are onto something. I don't quite know how it works, but it sounds delicious. And I mean, quite a big thing to admit, actually, for him, wasn't it, really, to go and speak. You're going to have to tell shareholders, investors, then the markets know, the media know, and so on. And some in the media didn't think he'd get his job back. But eventually, he did return to work in January this year, only after having had to meet one-to-one with each member of his board to check that he was fit to return to work. Essentially, he had to reapply for his job. That's a hard thing to do, I think. As you'd expect, this news caused a bit of a stir. So in the markets, £1 billion wiped off the value of Lloyd's TSB. If you're interested, and I am, and I think you should be too, that's £370 million worth of taxpayers' money wiped off the value overnight because the chief exec says, I can't sleep. I need to take some time off. Now, of course, it's a big job, isn't it, running a big four retail bank like that at the moment, not least part owned by the taxpayer and so on. The media say that he's a bit of a micromanager. Since coming back to work, certain responsibilities have been taken off his desk and have been sort of devolved more widely amongst the leadership at Lloyd's TSB. But clearly he's something of a workaholic. And he admitted through all this that his family were complaining they never saw him. He even admitted apparently that he would schedule meetings quite frequently on Sundays. And he told the press, we found we had more time to think on Sundays about what were our real priorities. Now, I used to be a management consultant, but you know what? You don't need to be a management consultant to spot something there in terms of how they work out their real priorities. Now, look, it must be extremely stressful, and I think it's a big thing to admit, look, I need some help, I need some time off. And the reality is that this is not an issue confined just to the very top levels of industry. It's up and down the ladder. And So we looked at some of these statistics last week around workplace stress and anxiety-related depression and that sort of thing. Industry is brutal. So 27% of workers officially in the city struggle with sleep. The Lloyds TSB chief exec says, and I guess he would know now, having talked to people, he says actually it's 50%. The stats say 27%, actually it's 1 in 2. I read also there's been a 20% rise in the number of workers in their 20s suffering from stress-related conditions. Some of you know that at that point are thinking, absolutely, that's us. Others are thinking, get over it, come on, can't be that difficult. But that's what people are saying. Workers as young as 23 falling victim to burnout. If you're north of 23 and you haven't burnt out yet, then you're behind the curve, it would seem. Now, what do we do? What do we do in the face of this? How do we overcome anxiety? Well, it seems to me the world offers three solutions. The first is get help. So turn to medicine and counselling. And we do that in our droves. 2006, so a while ago. But depression and anxiety in this country cost £530 million and affected 500,000 people. And either it's the taxpayer or the employer, usually, who picks up the tab, but people turn to medicine and counselling. It's a big industry. The second is get away. Take time off, recharge the batteries. You might do that by going on holiday somewhere remote perhaps, or with a relaxing hobby. So Deborah Meaden from Dragon's Den, she rides horses and spends a lot of money restoring her Somerset home. That's what she does. Others go for something more adrenaline-fueled. Larry Ellison, Charles Dunstone, Oracle and Carphone Warehouse, they both enjoy sailing and racing the big yachts that they own, something a bit more feisty. So get help or get away. Or thirdly, get out. Get out while you still can. Sell up and walk away. Buy a small holding in Wiltshire, grow fruit and vegetables, start B&B or whatever it is that does it. Get help, get away, get out. That is what the world says about how we deal with stress. Now, I don't know, if you're here today and you're not yet a Christian, you're thinking these things through, I guess a question I'd throw at you would be, how do you deal with stress? How do you overcome anxiety? How is it you think you're going to find peace in life? Now, the Bible offers us something completely different. It talks about having the peace of God, something much deeper, something far more satisfying than getting help, getting away, or getting out. And now those things all have their place, don't get me wrong, they're good things, generally speaking. But I take it that like me, you can think of plenty of people who've spent hours and thousands on all three of those, and yet the fatigue, the anxiety, the discontent remain. And I have to say, as a Christian, I'm no longer surprised by that. I'm no longer surprised that therapy and counselling don't have the answer. Or that all those air miles or a little bit of luxury don't solve the problems. The stress remains. Or that friends I know, I can think of some who've got out, and yet all they've found is that actually they've just swapped one set of problems for another. And the reason for that is that they're looking for peace in the wrong places. How to overcome anxiety? Well, real peace is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, of course, even within that, there are different types of peace that we could talk about, the most important of which, I guess, would be having peace with God. So Romans 5 tells us that since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is a very precious thing, to know that you have peace with God when you stand before him one day in judgment. I wonder if you can say that for yourself today. Do you know that peace with God? We could talk about having peace with others. In Colossians 5, Paul talks about that. Peace always works itself, peace with God works itself out relationally with others. But the kind of peace we're going to look at today, here in Philippians 4 in our reading, is the peace that we can have within ourselves in the face of anxiety. And that peace comes from God and nowhere else. So let's be very clear, we're not talking today about sort of techniques for managing stress or coping strategies for periods of high anxiety. We don't do life coaching here at Midweek in Mayfair. We're much more interested in life change. And real lasting life change comes from the work of the Holy Spirit within us. And in our Bible reading today, we see three commands based on two truths which explain for us the peace of God. Very briefly then, just to begin with, the three commands. Rejoice, says Paul in verse 4. In fact, he says it twice. And this from a man in chains. Paul is in prison as he writes to the church in Philippi. And yet he says, rejoice, be thankful for all that God has given you. He goes on, don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry, he says. Don't allow yourself to become weighed down by stress. Don't allow yourself to become so anxious that you can't sleep, that you can't relax, that you're scheduling meetings on Sundays, that your children can see that physically you're at home, and yet it's very obvious that mentally you are elsewhere. Does that ring any bells? Do your children see that, if you have them? Don't allow yourself to become anxious like that. Now, of course, you may think, it's not actually that simple, Matt, actually. My job is much more stressful than that. Life is more complicated than that. I was talking to someone this weekend who works for a bank, and he said, do I believe him? I don't know. He said, look, we're just not as profitable. Whatever people think, we're not as profitable as we used to be. Return on equity is down. The bank are taking it very seriously. We're not just talking about simply freezing compensation. We're talking about restructuring it. They'll start with bonuses. Bonuses will be down this year. Then they'll go for our salaries. Then after that, they're going for our jobs. And that creates an atmosphere. And I've got a mortgage to pay. Now, what do I say to him? Do I simply say, don't worry? Is that all I say? Well, yes, I do say that, but not just that. Because worry isn't something that you just simply remove. Worry is something that you replace. So simply emptying my mind of worry, I tend to find doesn't really work. I need to fill my mind, if you like, I need to fill my time with something else. And Paul gives us that here in verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, remove worry, but in everything, the big and the small, the exciting, the mundane, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So replace worry with prayer. Paul says, don't worry about anything, but rather pray about everything. Nothing's too big, nothing's too small for God. So pray with thanksgiving. That is, be thankful that God's in control and ask him for what you need. So three commands: rejoice, do not be anxious, and pray with thanksgiving. But I want to say to you today that of greater value than the commands here is the peace of God itself on which they're built. So what kind of peace is it that we're promised when we do stop worrying and start praying? Well, two truths then. The first is this. Paul says first that the peace of God transcends all understanding in verse 7. And Paul promises then that when we come to God in prayer with thanksgiving, the result is not deliverance. God just doesn't just simply sort of take away all our problems. He may not do that. But rather the result is the peace of God. We'll know that peace, which transcends all understanding. Now that means it's unexplainable. It doesn't mean that in the sense of it being something mysterious or mystical or incomprehensible. Rather, it's something that you cannot simply explain. In other words, you can't quite put your finger on it, but you know that this is the hand of God. This peace that you're experiencing is the hand of God. That's the only way you can explain it. Maradona tried that, of course. Remember him? World Cup quarterfinal 1986. The Azteca Stadium, England, Argentina. He wanted to claim that there was no human explanation for arguably the most blatant handball in footballing history. And so he came up with saying it was the hand of God. And yet clearly TV footage reveals that it wasn't. But when there really is no explanation, when the TV footage really does show up nothing, then, says Paul, that is the hand of God. The God whose peace transcends all understanding. The God who gives us a peace that, humanly speaking, we shouldn't have. Now, having said it's unexplainable, which it is, I've often wondered how you explain the peace of God which transcends all understanding. And then a few weeks ago, someone explained it to me. And guess what? He said, I can't explain it. But here's how he tried. Here's how he tried. You might have heard, if you were here in February this year, many of you won't have been, but you might have heard me talk previously about a lovely couple called Julian and Esmeri, a South African couple, committed Christians, who I've got to know well over the past year. And their first child, Luke, a little boy, was born in July last year, and they had a difficult labour. He was deprived of oxygen at birth and began life with very severe brain injuries. So every step of the way, Luke's health has been a real struggle. It's been very, very gritty for them. And then about 6 weeks ago, I won't forget it, 23rd of September, a Sunday morning, just after 8:30, I had a phone call from Julian, and he was standing outside A&E at St George's Hospital in Tooting. Luke had had a chest infection, and he'd stopped breathing during the night, and Esmeri had woken and found that he stopped breathing. They started CPR, and ambulance was with them within 3 minutes, raced them to the hospital, And for three quarters of an hour, the resuscitation team tried to revive Luke, and they never got him back. And Luke had probably died in the middle of the night. I took Luke's funeral last month. Very, very sad story. And yet I was talking to Julian one afternoon after Luke's death, and he said this. We're standing outside his house, and he said, "Matt, you know, we've really felt people's prayers. We're so thankful to the church for praying." He said, "You know, there have been times when, humanly speaking, we shouldn't have been able to continue. We were in bits. Our lives are in bits, and we thought we should just be giving up. And yet somehow," he said, we felt strangely encouraged. So I don't know, we really should be just giving up. But somehow we felt encouraged. And that can only be from God." He couldn't explain it, but I think that is the peace of God which transcends all understanding. And it's wonderful to hear about it like that. Now, what difference does that make for you today as you go back to your desks this afternoon? How do these words of Paul here change anything for you? I think it means that when we pray, God gives us peace. His unexplainable peace which transcends all understanding. So why not try it? Why not try it? Do not be anxious, but rather pray. And God promises that he'll give us his peace which transcends all understanding. The peace of God transcends all understanding. And then second, it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. But how? How will the peace of God guard your hearts and your minds? During the summer, my wife and I brought the children up to London one morning to go and look at Buckingham Palace after all things Jubilee. My eldest in particular, James, was very, very keen to see where the Queen lives. It was a beautiful day, middle of the Olympics, great to be British, London, etc., etc., all brilliant. And we had a really fun morning just wandering around outside the palace, and in particular looking at the guards on duty. And James thought that was all very exciting, and we watched the changing of the guard and so on. And what struck me as we were there was that although they're kitted up with their rifles and their bayonets and the uniforms and the shiny shoes, and you clearly don't mess with them, at no point do they look like they're about to go and invade anyone else's territory. At no point are they going to attack you. They're well-drilled and well-trained. You take them seriously, but they're not going to attack anybody. But it is very clear that nobody's getting past them. It's very, very clear that nobody's going to try and slip through the gate. They're there to guard the Queen and the palace. They weren't there to invade anybody, but they were there to stop people getting in. And you see, that, of course, is what a sentry does. It's what a guard does. He guards things. He keeps people out. He keeps unwanted things out. He stops them from getting in. And so it is here with the peace of God. The peace of God will stop things getting into our hearts and minds. Anxiety, worry. It will keep them out. That's what a guard does. And the guard here is for our hearts and our minds. Now the two are linked, of course. Many would say they're one and the same. Hearts and minds is the battle that you need to win, isn't it? In any war, in any struggle. It's the battle you need to win in corporate culture. You need to win people's hearts and minds. But Paul does mention both, and the differences between them are just worth thinking about. So the peace of God first will guard your hearts. Now the heart, of course, is the nerve centre, isn't it, of the soul. It's what shapes our desires, our cravings, our longings, our hopes and dreams. We long to be rich or successful. We long for our children to follow Jesus. We desire that difficult colleague we sit next to would leave. We'd love it if our boss moved on. We dream of getting promoted. We want our friends to become Christians. Those things, whether good or bad, those desires come from our hearts. But of course, if the heart is where our desires originate, the mind is where they become reality. Our hearts are where we dream. Our minds are where we plan. It's in my heart that I decide what I want. It's in my mind that I plot how to get it. And anxiety affects both, if we let it in. So if we allow worry about the future, the mortgage, the relationship, or whatever it might be, if we allow those things to get into our hearts, then we'll find it shapes our desires. So I'm worried about the mortgage, which means I must generate some fees this month. I must hit some targets. I'm worried about what my parents think. which means I must get that promotion. I must have something to say when we all compare notes over lunch at Christmas. I must have something impressive to say. And so those things then become the desires in our hearts. They're the things we want. And so then they become the things that we plot and plan and scheme about in our minds. And then, of course, our priorities, our lifestyles, our choices, they're all driven by our worry and by our anxiety. And that, of course, is why we need the peace of God to guard our hearts and our minds, to stop anxiety getting in. Now, how does it do that? Well, there in verse 7, the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds. How? In Christ Jesus. Who is the guard on sentry duty? It is Jesus himself. Paul says, rejoice, do not be anxious, pray with thanksgiving. And as you do, he says, look to Jesus. He is the one on duty. So there are people here who know about redundancy, who know about bereavement, who know about the struggles of parenting, who know about stress at work, who know about all sorts of trials and suffering. And yet they will tell you, they've told me, that Jesus will meet your every need. The peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So there we are. Remember, as we finish, if peace is a fruit of the Spirit, we've been saying this each week, then it's not something you manufacture. You don't manufacture fruit, it grows. So you have to let it grow, which means living by the Spirit. And living by the Spirit, we said this last week, means believing what you have heard. It means believing what Paul says here about the peace of God. Believe these words and trust God every day. Rejoice, don't be anxious, pray with thanksgiving. And why can we do that with confidence? Why can we be confident of what we're reading here? Well, look at verse 4. Just look at verse 4 with me. The Lord is near. The peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. But where is Jesus in all this? The Lord is near. He's near. Jesus is always with us by his Spirit. He's with us today in our anxieties. He's with you as you go back to your desk. He knows what you're worried about. He knows what you need. So don't be anxious, pray, and know the peace of God that comes with that. You may not be able to explain it, but the Bible says you'll know it. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. Let me pray for us. Our gracious Father, we do thank you that in your word to us you offer so much more than counselling or holidays or escaping. We thank you that you offer us the peace of the living God, which transcends all understanding. And so we pray that you would help us to heed these words, that we would not be anxious, but rather we would turn our hearts and our minds to prayer. We pray that you would keep us from allowing anxiety to take over our desires and our plans, and rather would we look to the Lord Jesus, knowing that he provides for us all that we need. And for those here for whom there are particular stresses or anxieties today, we do pray that they would walk away knowing the peace of God which transcends all understanding. And for those of us still wondering about this peace, then we do ask that you would reveal more of yourself to us, that we might know, above all, peace with you because of the work of the Lord Jesus for us. Amen.